The great church, great faith, great members. Be about the business of the church. We talk about that in Luke chapter 2. And they was looking for Jesus. He had gotten away from him, went back to the temple. And when they caught up with him, Mary and Joseph, he told them, he said, I must be about my father's business. Amen. And we talked in Acts chapter 4 about the church having a great testimony. I was teaching that the children this morning about their testimony and having a great testimony. I don't know if the church has a great testimony anymore. It ought to have a great testimony. It ought to be able to say, like John and Peter in Acts 4 said, "Be known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead," ought to be our testimony. So when we start talking about grace of a great church, grace of a great church, and look to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. Paul's teaching Titus. He said, "Teach these things, Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Precious Lord, we thank you for God's holy word. We thank you for the power that you've given those that would preach it. You didn't put men in the pulpit to preach politics. Amen. You didn't put men in the pulpit to preach issues of this world. You put men in the pulpit to preach Christ and him crucified. And like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, he said, I'm determined. It takes a determination today to preach Christ. Amen. Because so many folks is caught up. CNN and Fox and CNBC, yes, whatever. We're not preaching Christ. We need to preach Christ and him crucified, and we need to preach grace, and we need to preach faith, and we need to preach hope, and we need to preach love and joy and peace. And that's all found in the scripture. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray that this church would have an ear to hear from you on this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Faith. The business of the church, the testimony of the church, the joy of the church. There ought to be joy in the church.
Amen.
I wouldn't be wrong if I said, if you're not happy, you ought not be here. I mean, if I was having a birthday party, would I want unhappy folks coming? They don't have birthday parties at funeral homes. They have them at Chuck E. Cheese and got folk, everybody happy. Folk come to church, ought to be happy.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, if you're happy and you know it, Clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will really show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And say amen. That's like, oh, that's bad. Church folk ain't happy no more. And then church folk ain't happy. And then that's contagious. Folks not happy. Paul said this in Philippians. We talk about the joy of a great church. A great church is going to have joy. Okay? Paul said this in Philippians 3. He said, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Rejoice in what the Lord has done for you. How can you not be happy?
Amen.
When you was one step from stepping off into darkness, one step from stepping off into hell for all eternity, and God rescued you.
Amen.
Pulled you out of the muck and the mire and saved your rotten, nasty soul. And then filled you with grace, and filled you with mercy, and filled you with love and joy. Let me tell you something, unhappy Christian. Now, don't get me wrong. Might have some ups and downs. We need to be consistent. We're going to endure some things. But in our enduring some things, that don't take away what God has done for us.
Amen.
You may get a bad report, and that don't mean God didn't die for you.
Amen.
Because one day we all gonna get a bad report.
Amen.
And see, this is a whole bunch of belief. One day you're gonna get a bad report. Listen, one day you're gonna go to the doctor and he's gonna say, there's nothing else we can do.
Yeah.
And you're gonna say, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Because you know you have hope. When God saved you, he gave you hope. And we ought not have the hope of the unsaved. Awful. A great church has faith. A great church knows the business. A great church has a great testimony. A great church has a great joy. A great church has great power. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. See, I listen to Sidney Bryant. Gave me a great lead. Great lead. I feel like Johnny Carson up here. And she was talking about going out into the world making disciples. Jake don't know Johnny Carson. It's before his time. But Google him. But she gave me a great lead because, see, we're going to have a great BBS. We're going to have some great folks. So you got to have the right stuff to deal with lost folks. When the dying world comes into the church, they ought to see a great faith. They ought to see folks about the business of God. They ought to hear about a great testimony. They ought to see great joy. They ought to see the power of God resonating throughout the building.
Amen.
They ought to see folks that are committed. We're talking about the commitment of a great church. Paul in prison. In prison. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Paul in prison. Ephesians 4. He said, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. He could have said, I, Paul, totally committed to the Lord. I'm going to serve him in prison. He says to the church, now he's getting a letter that is written from prison to the church. He says, walk worthy. Walk worthy of what? Walk worthy of what God has done for you. Walk worthy of the fact that you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And because he died, you will live forever. Walk worthy of what God has done for you. How? In all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Great church walks worthy. Great church walks low. Great church has forbearing love. Forbearing love. That means you're going to go through something. You're going to deal with me. You ain't going to like everything I say. Okay? But you're going to have forbearing love. And listen to any preacher that's preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? I look this stuff up. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word in season, out of season. You know how Timothy died? He was stoned.
Uh-huh.
He was stoned. He was stoned while he was preaching against a march. They was marching the temple of Diana. They was coming to march, and he was standing on the side preaching. Amen. And they stoned him. The pagans stoned him. So, listen, let me tell you something, folks. I just love my pastor. Oh, I love my pastor. Let me tell you something. You probably love him because he ain't saying nothing. You probably love him because he ain't touching you. He's not in your business. He's not talking about the word of God. He's not confronting you. And you love him because you can sit in a church and listen to him and still be, or still do, or still go, or still act. Oh, he's so kind. He's so wonderful. We're going to have a pastor anniversary for him. We're going to walk him around in a chariot. Bet they ain't walk Paul around every time. Only chariot Paul ever got in, they lowered him over a wall. Because they wanted to stone him and kill him. Matter of fact, the folks took a fast. They said, we're not going to even eat till we kill this fool. Bet you Paul didn't have no pastor anniversary. We going to love our pastor. We going to take him. Listen, send it to jail. Paul had a pastor anniversary in jail. Listen, let me keep going. So we got it all messed up. Because that's why the church ain't great. Because folks that know the Bible know this ain't going to be happening in church.
Amen.
Pastor ought to, he ought to be preaching the word. And folks ought to be sitting there like, I can't imagine them running all around in circles when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about the unity last week. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Let me tell you something. You got to be in the body.
Amen.
Today I want to talk about, I almost say I'm going to stop this series. This is number 8. This is number 9 today. We're going to talk about the grace of a great church. Because see, you've been saved by grace. Okay? Grace saved you. If you in here today and you saved, you were saved by grace. There's no other way. There's no other way for you to be saved. Paul says in Acts 4 and 12, there's none other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved. You're going to be saved by what Christ did. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works. Story was told, you know, the preacher was preaching. This is a true story. He's preaching and he's telling a story to a bunch of folks, that church folks. And he says, if a man runs into a burning fire and rescues 20 people, you mean tell me if he don't know Christ, he still go to hell? And the preacher said, yes, sir. Amen. And the folks got mad. Well, how he did so? You're not saved by works.
Amen.
You could be the best at a lot of things. You could be a office manager of the year. You can be employee of the year. You can be student of the year, student athlete of the week. But you better know Jesus.
Amen.
And him crucified. And I told you last week about Tom Brady, all them rings don't mean nothing. When you get to Jesus, when you get to the judgment, all the rings don't mean nothing, Tom. Okay? Do you know my son? Did he die for your sins? Are you covered in the blood? Paul's teaching Titus now. He's taught Timothy. He's teaching Titus. He said, Titus, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. See, the grace of God. What is the grace of God? I tell you what, the young people know what the grace of God is. The grace of God is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the grace of God that brings salvation. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody don't believe. Okay? Everybody don't believe. You can quote and recite John 3:16, but if you don't have the believeth part down,
amen.
Okay? Because see there, you're going to choose whether I believe it or I don't. Because when you believe something, you're going to you're going to act a certain way. That belief, what you believe, is going to make you conform you to that belief system. So you tell me you believe in Jesus, but you believe that homosexuality is not a sin, or you believe that transgender is not a sin, or you believe that gambling is not a sin, and you believe that being a drunk is not a sin, you believe that being an adulterer is not a sin, then you don't believe.
Amen.
Amen.
The word.
Amen.
Okay? I'll just keep it 100.
Amen. That's the truth.
Believing means doing and acting. It's going to affect your self, your life. Thank you. Your belief, what you believe in, is going to affect you. You're going to deal with it. Ah, Pastor, there you go.
Amen.
That's why we don't run around in here.
Amen.
Well, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How did it appear? It appeared in the form of a baby born in a manger. Okay? In the next couple of weeks, you know, have a hard time not understanding, because Walmart, they done already started changing. Valentine's Day over, they already started putting the Easter eggs out. Okay? And the candy apples, not the candy apples, but the candy rabbits and the bunny rabbits. And, you know, you're going to have the Easter egg hunts, and folks going to be running their little kids around finding Easter eggs. Some church is going to have bunny rabbits in the church, and they're going to... Here's my point. The grace of God appeared. Somebody's going to ask, what's this all about? See? Leon knew all this. He knew all this Christianity stuff. What's this all about? I love jelly beans. I do too. But what's it all about? It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, and you can't get around it. You can't get around it, because the word of God says you can't. It has appeared to all men. So all men are going to be held accountable. Especially us. Especially us, because we got to teach it right.
Amen.
We got to teach it right. This is dangerous up here.
Amen.
We got to teach it right. Why? Because the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. But you know what? Know what it does? It teaches us.
Amen.
And I'm going to write down the text. See, this is why you can get mad. You can argue with me, but you can argue with this text.
Amen.
Because the word of God teaches us.
Amen.
And a lot of folks don't like to be taught.
Uh-huh.
A lot of folks don't like to be taught what the word of God teaches. See, some folks in positions of authority, and they're in positions where they teaching, and they overseeing people, and they managing things, and it's hard to teach someone who teaches. But the word of God teaches. This is why the man of God got to stay with the word of God. What does it teach us? What does it teach us? It teaches us. Watch this now. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's what it teaches us. How many heard that preached before? Some folks don't even know what ungodliness is. And we just do whatever we want to do. Let me tell you something. The grace of God teaches that ungodliness is wrong. And if you call yourself a child of God, a man of God, then you ought to, like Job, eschew the very appearance of evil.
Amen. That's right.
We ought not be ungodly. We ought not be around ungodliness. What is ungodliness, Pastor? Things that God don't approve of. How about that?
Uh-huh. Amen.
Things that God don't approve of. What don't God approve of? A lot of things. That's why I looked at the text, and the man asked Jesus why he was preaching, because Jesus was preaching godliness. He was preaching holiness. He was preaching holiness, and the man walked up to Jesus and said, are there few that be saved? And Jesus didn't give him an answer to that. He said, but you strive to enter in. You worry about yourself getting in. Don't worry about how many getting in, because if you study the word of God, the word of God says it is a narrow road that leads to heaven. And few be to find it. Okay? Why is it few be to find it? Because out of the pulpits of America,
uh-huh.
we're preaching a wide world theology.
Amen.
We preaching it wide. Jesus preached it narrow. We preaching it wide. Everybody going in. Well, Jesus says it's a narrow road. Well, the word of God, the worldly preacher says it's a wide road. You do whatever you want to do. Everybody going to heaven. Everybody going to heaven. All your loved ones in heaven. All that old gypso crowd is in heaven. All them old timers that was at the old timers, they all in heaven. Because none of you ever been to a funeral where the man of God say he's not in heaven. Nobody, everybody in heaven.
Uh-huh.
It's just the wrong one. It's the one that the wide road leads to.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Pastor. That's what the word of God says.
Amen.
That grace teaches us. What's it teach us? To deny ungodliness. What else? And worldliness. Worldliness. Is grace teaching you that? Do your grace that God give you allow you to do anything? Say anything? Your mouth is out of control. Your life is out of control. Your emotions is out of control. Your lust is out of control. All, everything out of control.
Yeah.
And you say you have grace. You say you've been born again. You say you've been saved. But you have no power to do right. Grace trains us. Grace educates us. It commands us. Let me tell you something. Listen, I can't do what I want to do.
Amen. Uh-huh.
I don't even want to. Because when God comes into a man's life, he instructs him.
Yeah.
He instructs him. And you can deny it or you can accept it. Y'all remember Josh? Josh used to come here. Josh used to come here. One of my foster kids, Josh and his family. Well, you know, Josh. Rested on gun charges, pulled a gun out on a man, told him to take his clothes off, get naked. But you know what Josh set up under the word of God? Josh was put into a church that loved the Lord and placed into a family where a woman of God cared for him and showed him love and kindness and all that. But you know what? You can reject it.
Amen.
You can reject it. And see, this is what happens when we reject God's love. When we reject God's love, there's only one other thing to do. We accept Satan's love. And Satan's love is like this. Let me tell you, John 10:10. The enemy, the devil, comes to what? Just kill, steal, and destroy. That's Satan's love. That's Satan's love. See? God's love. It's different. Let me speak to some married men just a minute here. Because I know y'all may go to church and you never hear pastors talk about marriage. But the word of God says in Ephesians, say, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Now, what is Paul saying? He said, I've given you the grace of God. Okay, you have the grace of God in you. That woman I gave you. That's what the word of God said. He who receives a wife receives a good thing. Another proverb says a gift from God.
Yes.
Now at the end of that, now when that husband presents that wife, and the wife is the picture of the church, when that husband presents that wife to God, he has to be able to say, I have loved her. I have protected her. I have comforted her. I have cherished her. I have, because you gave me this. Okay? Now, in the same sense, when God gives us his grace and he gives us his mercy, how are we to put that on display? How are we showing this thing? Okay? Because grace instructs us. We talk about worldly lusts. Desire for money. Money, 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 money. That's an old song. A pleasure. We live in a pleasure-seeking world. We just want a pleasure. And if we don't get it in church, we're going to find a church. This is why these churches, like, these churches, a lot of like Cleveland Cavalier games. You go to a Cav game, it never stops. As soon as every time out, cheerleaders and, like somebody said, throwing up plates and clowns. You got bears riding on bikes because you have to keep people occupied. And if the word don't keep you occupied, there's preachers now. I'm telling you, there's preachers that do their whole sermon while they're preaching. They got somebody on the piano playing, and he's going up and down with the preacher. You got some preachers got praise dancers behind them. While he's preaching, they dancing. Why? Because folks ain't interested in the Word of God. And instead of preaching, said, I don't care if y'all interested or not. Amen. I'm going to preach it in season and out of season. Amen. I'm going to preach it. Okay? Fall asleep, text, do whatever you want to do, but I got one job. Amen. Preach the Word. You need dancers, you ain't getting them here. Amen. All right, I'm going to preach the word. And if you go to sleep, I'm going to still preach it. Amen. If you fall out a window, I'm going to still preach it. Amen. That's what the word of God says.
Amen.
He said, preach the word. Amen. See, but we want to be liked. We want honor, prestige. We want titles. We just so caught up. See, what happens when the world comes into the church? And if you don't preach the word, and if the pastor not determined, like Paul said, to preach Christ, him crucified, you know what? The world comes in. The world comes in. And folks come in, and they want to preach on Trump, and they want to preach on Hillary, and they want to preach on Bush, and they want to preach on, go down the line, all the way Abraham Lincoln, since it's Black History Month. They want to go all the way, preach on all that. Paul said, preach Christ and him crucified. It ain't sexy. Okay? It ain't sexy. Okay? It ain't. It's not sexy. They don't stone folks. Folks, listen, I say this all the time. Let me say this. We got a few visitors in here. Let me say this. The author of this book was crucified. Okay? And he said, you killed all the prophets. So everybody that's preached God's word was crucified. Martyr and slain. Matthew was cut in half. Peter crucified upside down. Andrew was in the crucified this way. They all died preaching this. Okay? They wasn't liked. Tell you a story about John Wesley. John Wesley, you know, everywhere he went, somebody was throwing rocks at him. Every time he stepped out of the church, somebody, he's ducking. Somebody was throwing rocks at him. Then 1 week, it went 2 weeks. John Wesley, 2 weeks, he said, nobody threw a rock at him. 2 weeks. You know what he did? He dropped down to his knees. And he said, Lord, if I'm out of your will, if I'm not preaching what you want me to preach, let me know. And he got up and started walking, and a rock came. Whoo! He said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
See, we're scared of rocks. See, we're scared of rocks, so we don't want to offend the rock throwers. But see, the church is full of rock throwers. So, you know, you're going to preach God's word. You've been signed up to get some rocks thrown at you. That's why he said put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. And you better be protected when you start talking about you a child of God. You walk out here unprotected, that's why you get your head knocked off. I hope y'all hear me, you preachers up here. Start preaching, thinking folk going to like you. Make them mad. That's how you get saved. Folk come dancing down the aisle. Feel good. Dance down. Listen, the Word of God said they like that the soil went out to sow seed. Think about how many folks. I say this all the time. I know more folks that have joined and quit triple, quadruple than I know that have joined and stayed.
That's right.
Because they hear word, oh, that pastor got on his brown Eddie Long suit today. And they that's what Vernon called it. And they come down and they come down the aisle. Because they heard a good message and the choir was singing and the pastor was preaching. And then 2 weeks later, after they get out into the real world and get the heat, the Bible said they wither. Why? Because there's no substance. There's no root. They're like all these flowers. They getting ready to get tricked in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
See, they done popped all up thinking it's spring. Oh, you got something coming. Okay? And this is how a lot of Christians is. They pop up. They pop up, I want to get baptized. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. And then after they hear the preacher who preaching the gospel for about 6 months, a year, I don't know if I signed up for this.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Oh, I know it's right. Somebody say it might be tight, but it's right.
Yes.
Listen, Columbus, give me the old school verses, old school stuff. This is what he teaches. Not only that, he said we should live soberly and righteously. I like that. I like that. We should live soberly and righteously. Now, if you saved and you got the grace of God in you, you're going to live soberly and righteously. What you talking about, Pastor? You're going to live soberly. You know, we talk about sobriety. You're going to live seriously. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Because you know what? You can't go out into this real world as a Christian. As a Christian. And not be sober, and not pay attention. You know, I was talking to Jake the other day, and Jake getting ready to get a new job, and I said, "What you gonna do, Jake?" When they found out you're a Christian, you know. And I tell them the story about the man who got the new job. He got the new job. He went home. He said, "Honey, I'm worried to death. I'm worried to death because this place they sending me, all the people cuss, all the people they watching nasty movies on their phones, and they just acting a fool. When they find out I'm a Christian, they gonna ridicule me." And they're going to mock me. And she said, "Honey, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Just go on to work." So he went to work and came back, came home. He came home to work. He was all happy. Yeah. And she said, "Oh, you had a good day." And he said, "Yeah, they never found out I was a Christian." That's how a lot of us are. Don't nobody know we're a Christian, but here on Sundays. And then that program ain't real good. But nobody know me a Christian. You know, we leave here. We go Christmas Sunday about 1:30. Call me. I'll be out of this Christian uniform. And I'll meet you at the sports bar. See the steps of a good man. Are ordered by the Lord. Now watch this now. Now we stop that. They are ordered by the Lord, and he, the Lord, delighteth in his way. As a child of God, you ought to be able to look in the mirror and say, "God, how's my walk?" And the Lord is like, "You know what? I am delighted in your walk." Now, ask yourself. See, we have to ask ourselves these questions. This is crazy. God, how is my walk? See, and sometimes we have to, the next week, we have to examine yourself. Then we have to make sure that if God was to ask you, if you was to ask yourself, just be honest with me. Because he's examining yourself. How's my walk? How's my walk? In all of February, how was my walk? How was my attitude? Was I humble? Was I meek? Did I give God glory in all that I ate, drank, and do? And in the areas where I didn't give God glory, did I ask God to forgive me and strengthen me in those areas? This is what he talked about with a worthy walk. Amen. We're not perfect, and we're going to fall, and we're going to stumble. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, and 7 is the number of infinity, so we're falling all the time. But we had to get up and ask God, listen, God, I'm falling in that area a lot lately. Give me strength there. That area is starting to give me a bit some concern. That's some red flags. Give me strength there. And God is faithful. God is faithful. And for listen. I got areas where I ask God to keep me strong all the time. Keep me strong all the time. Keep me strong, God. Because I deal with stuff all the time. And I know if I deal with it, you deal with it. This is a us thing, not a me thing, not an I thing.
Amen.
All of us going through. And we all on that road. And then the word of God said, the grace teaches us that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And you know what? God gives us the strength to do it. If God's going to strengthen you to walk in this present world, you're not going to do it. Your walk going to be bad. And if you're honest with yourself, and that's hard to do, because we never get alone. We got gadgets and earphones and tablets. We never get alone. And where God can talk to us quietly and say, "You know, you heard that preacher today. You got some areas. I'm here for you." And Jesus is on the main line. We sing it. Grace produces hope. I talked about this a little bit this morning, but grace produces hope. It produces hope. What is hope? When we start talking about hope, biblical hope, we talk about hope of heaven. No, we're not here forever. We're only passing through. And the Word of God says in Jude 1:21, and I think we get sidetracked as Christians because this world's coming at us. And I hear people talking all the time, and I rarely hear people talking about the Lord. And I can strike up a conversation with somebody and say they're a Christian about politics, about sports, and they, but then start talking about a devotion or a Christian book or something that you study, and it's silent as the lambs. Get in a conversation about some other stuff, and I mean, you can see the energy and the fervency and the passion.
Yep.
Amen. What if I say, what do you think about Matthew 7? See, Jude 1:21, he said this: keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Watch this now. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What Jude is saying, stay focused, stay locked in, because this world will pull you, and before you know it, you just a shell of a Christian. Just a shell of a Christian. You just have a panic attack if Minister Bright asks you to pray. Like, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what to say. Can't read the Bible. You ain't in King James Bible. You got to read the King James Bible to read it. You got to read it. That's why, folks, give me an NLT or NLZ or XYB. You know, it's easy to read. It ain't the Bible. Not supposed to be easy to read. We got verses that are like, well, Mary had a little lamb named Jesus. Listen, the Bible is not supposed to be easy to read. It's supposed to make you stop and stammer and study. You're like, what does this word mean here? Why is it here? What context is it in? We don't read like that. We just want to read it through. Like we're reading in Sports Illustrated. Not last month's issue. Sydney got them things coming to the house. She ain't let me read that one. She I got all the rest of them. I got Tom Brady. I got the Super Bowl one. I got all the ones with Tiger Woods on them and the Steelers. But then don't amen that. She keep me. Let's keep going. Listen. The price. I like this one here. The price which grace paid. This is good here. President, it's good to you. It's good to me. It's got to be good to me. Who gave himself for us. Watch this. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us. Man, that's a lot in that. He gave himself for us, for me, for you. And we sit here and be like, man, this has got to be grabbing you, and it's got to be resonating in you. This got to be, he gave himself for me. Think about it, Deacon. He gave himself for me. Listen, remember Judas? Judas, they couldn't even recognize Jesus, and Judas had to identify him, and Judas thought he did something. He thought, I'm going to show you who he is, and they went to Jesus, John 18, and they went and found Jesus. Now watch this now, because we talk about he gave himself. They couldn't force Jesus to do nothing. Okay? Like I tell you all the time, I wouldn't follow no man that man could control. Okay? Jesus said this: Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. Watch this now. Went forth. They coming to get him. Now the police coming to get us. We leaving out the back door. Okay. He went forth and said unto them, who seek ye? Okay. And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto him, unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Let me tell you something, Judas. You're standing with the wrong crowd. Okay? Now watch this now, verse 6. I like this. Call. This is the whole point he gave himself. They didn't come. They didn't take him. They didn't take him, Deacon. Listen. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground in judgment. There was no Benny Hinn stuff. Okay? You don't want to fall backwards. You go somewhere and you fall backwards. That's a sign of judgment. Okay? And it said, and they fell backwards to the ground. See, when you come to God in reverence, you fall prostrate on your face, knowing that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pilate delivered him to the soldiers, and Pilate delivered him to the soldiers. Let me tell you something. Pilate did not deliver him to the soldiers. Okay? Pilate did not deliver him to the soldiers. God delivered himself to the soldier, because he came to die. The word of God said in Luke 9:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now watch this. Now in John 19:11, Jesus said, and Jesus answers, thou couldest have no power at all against me, Pilate, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee have the greater sin. Okay? Okay? Say, listen. Nobody taking Jesus. Ain't nobody taking him and making him do nothing. He's a man's man. Don't these folks teach till this old mealy mouth, weak, mush fake Jesus. He's powerful and he's strong. And he's almighty. And nobody did nothing. But nobody grabbed him and made him do anything. He did it because he loved us. He loved us. Let me give you one more. He gave himself for us. That's what it said. Who gave himself for us. That's what the word of God is saying. Paul didn't believe this all the time, but Paul now is teaching it. He gave himself for us. Watch this now in John 10:17. Watch this. Therefore, do my Father love me? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now, this is why I say Jesus was a bad man. He was a bad man. I wouldn't follow him if he wasn't. I just know me. I just wouldn't follow a coward. Okay? No man, watch the verse 18. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Listen, folks. What's how the song go? We serve a risen Savior. That's right. We serve a risen Savior. Every other one, Joseph Smith and all them other ones, Allah and all them, or Muhammad, all of them still in the ground. Still in the ground. Amen. See? Amen. They can take you to where the grave is at. Okay? Let me tell you something. Grace not only teaches us, not only gives us hope, not only all that, purifies us. That's what the text says. Someone just reading the text. Who gave himself for us. Watch this now. That he might redeem us from our iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Let me talk about redeem, because I know you're saying, redeem. Let me tell you something. That word redeem means you was caught up in something. That means you was trapped in something. You was enslaved to something. You was addicted to something. Something was going to take you to hell. And God redeemed us. How did he redeem us? Because he died for us. But I want to talk about he purifies us, because I believe a great church is going to be a purified church. A great church going to be purified, and we have to allow ourselves to be purified. You can't purify something that don't want to be purified. Okay? Amen. You got to want to be clean. You got to want to be free from impurities.
Amen.
You do. See, some folks say, well, you know, what's the difference between spring water and purified water? I used to be of the belief, because somebody taught me, well, purified water don't taste good. I want spring water. Well, spring water is basically filled with impurities. When they say it's 100% pure spring water, I mean it's 100% from the spring. Okay? But that purified water means that them impurities have been taken out, have been screened and taken out. They say, well, that purified water don't taste good because you're used to toxic water. See, you taking in the wrong stuff so long that you the good stuff without the impurities don't taste good to you. That's how you get your Keurig machine, you know. Sister Rita got her Keurig machine. She had to change the filter because she was putting tap water in there and spring water, and that filter get all clogged up. They put the purified water in there now. It running good. See, when the church got some purified people. Purify people. See, this is what the word is designed to do. It's designed to purify you. I know it's purifying me, you know. It's designed to purify you. It's designed to clean you up and remove some stuff. Are you purified? But that's what the word of God says. He purified us. He came to clean us up. I'm a lot cleaner than I used to be. Okay, I still got some work to do now. I'm not sitting here talking about I'm all purified. I still got some, I got some impurities. Okay? Some of y'all know it. Some of y'all know better than others. But like I tell my boys in here, I got 1, 2, 3 in here, and a wife. You know what? They watch me all the time. They watch me coming, they watch me going. Okay? And a purified person is an example. And if we're going to have a great church, we need some purified people. If we're going to have a BBS, a great BBS, we need some purified people.
Amen.
Okay? You can't bring all your impurities to BBS and dealing with kids with impurities.
Amen.
See, when impurities meet impurities, okay? See, rethink that. I know, because I've been doing BBS here. Since I got here, we've been doing BBS. And I've seen some stuff go on here. I've seen, heard some comments about kids from church folk. And I've seen their parents looking at folks. We have to be careful how we present ourselves as pure. Now, what's that purity lead to? Because I hear some stuff. It's a stressful time. I'll be the first one to admit it. It's a stressful time. It's 2 weeks of stressful time. Okay? Now, it ain't stressful for me. Because I know what I'm getting into. But working that kitchen, people coming in and out, people that ain't working in the kitchen, coming in the kitchen. It can be stressful. That's why you got to be prayed up. I would say this to Cindy Bryant. Every night, have your staff meet somewhere and pray. Meet them all before you even step into the sanctuary. Meet and pray. Kitchen can meet everybody. Let's pray. Okay? And if while you praying, somebody got an attitude, you know, you just don't need to work tonight.
Amen.
You go to your job, you ain't going to your job with no attitude. You ain't going to work at McDonald's or something. Listen, you're going to say, welcome to McDonald's, may I help you? You're going to say it with a smile.
Okay, now.
You ain't never walked to McDonald's. What do you want?
Oh.
You come to church and talk people crazy. Be at McDonald's. Welcome to McDonald's. Can I help you? Well, right now, we got to make some fresh coffee. Mm-hmm. We ain't got no coffee. Last one, I'm gonna let y'all go. I didn't bring my watch. Ray said the clock working. Listen, Watch this last one now. This is where it all culminates. This is where it all comes together. I'm trying to say words I can't say. Listen. That's why I love Jake. We be messing up some words. Verse 14, last one. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Not some, all iniquity. There ain't a sin you dealing with that ain't just big, too big for God.
Amen.
There ain't nothing you into that's too big for God. You know, what's the verse say? When the angel came to Abraham and Sarah and Sarah laughed, is there anything too hard for God? You can't get into nothing that God can't get you out. He says he redeemed us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now he's going to purify us when he redeems us. He's not going to redeem us to allow us like a pig. You take a pig, clean a pig up. Oh, clean a pig up. He got this pig clean. Got to take him out to the camp field fair. He all clean. What's going to happen when he sees some mud? You got the ring nose in him. You got him. You just sprayed him with refresh. Soon as that pig sees some mud, he gone. God don't do us like that. He redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. He's talking about the people of God, 1 Timothy 2. A peculiar people. You an oddball. You different. See, the reason why a lot of Christians don't want to be Christian because we don't want to be peculiar. We don't want to be odd. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to pray over our food. I would love to go to the high school cafeteria and see if any of our young people pray over the food. I'm scared. If they find out I'm a Christian. Listen, you are an oddball. I am an oddball. Okay? Well, you're supposed to be an oddball pastor. You're the pastor. No, you are a Christian. You are supposed to be different. And when you ain't walking in step with the world will know. The world will know. If you can go 5 minutes without cussing in this world, somebody say, something different about you. You don't talk for 5 minutes and you ain't dropped the F-bomb. Because that's the world. And now I could be standing in line at Walmart and meet somebody and start a conversation. They didn't beat me up. 90 F-bombs and everything else. Like, you don't even know me. We're peculiar people that we should bring forth praises of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Last verse. Zealous. What's that word mean? Somebody say, zealous. Pastor Zealous. I am. If I'm not excited about it, how are you going to be excited about it? If the pastor's not excited about it, enthusiastic and fervent and fanatical. I get so jealous. I get so jealous. I watch Ohio State football. I watch the Browns. I watch the Steelers out there in the rain. And there's snow and it's cold. And they got a beer in their hand. They scream and go.
Yeah.
And we in here talking, it's too warm. Oh, it's too warm in here.
Amen.
Yeah, I get so jealous. And I know God is jealous. Man, you sit there and, you know, the Cavs in overtime, and your heart just pounding. And you go, oh, and Kyrie hit the shot, you just running all around the house. Roy had his pajamas on. He was all the way down Mill Creek Park screaming, Dad! It was a great game. but do we bring it? You know, here we're talking about a man who died for our sins.
Amen.
Who rose on the third day. And we're not zealous. Listen, we're not zealous. We're not zealous. We're not zealous. God saved us. What by grace are you saved? Through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. But verse number 10, we just don't hit it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works. That's not an option. That's a commandment. That's a demand. That's not, well, you might, you should. No, we were created in Christ unto good works. Not bad works. Not mediocre works. That's all. That's talking to Ray. That's all to Ray. You know, track season starting up. And I'm like, why are you doing it? If you don't want to be the greatest discus thrower in the world. Amen. Now I said to him, I said, listen, Ray, if I said I want to be a discus thrower, I'm going to get on Google and I'm going to find out a high school record for the discus. And I'm going to study all the films of the, how he did it. I want to be great. I don't want to hear on seventh place, Ray Alexander. I don't want to walk into the pit like, yeah, yeah. Then watch everybody watching. I'm ready to throw this discus 199. Ain't that how it is? Fanatical about it. Just see, we just don't want to be great anymore. We just want to be average. Well, I made the team. You know, I made the team. I get to ride on the bus. God says, listen, he says this in Titus 2 and 7. I'm going to let y'all go. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good work in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Amen. In sincerity. Listen, folks, God is looking for folks that want to be great. If we're going to have a great church, we can't have a great church with mediocre folks. You can't have a great restaurant with mediocre cooks. You can't have a great team with mediocre players. You just can't. And if we're going to be a great church, we got to be great at what we do. We got to be great at serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. We got to be great at being teachers. I just know this because I know my Sunday school teachers on Wednesday night and myself, those that are teachers here, I know they want to be great. I know they want to be the best they can be. There's no doubt in my mind that Minister Brian is not grinding, and he may not have gone to a seminary or cemetery or all that, but he is working hard, and God will bless your work. Amen. Your work. And these other gentlemen here, they're working men. They're working men and families, and they still preparing. There's not one person in here. They might not like nothing Jake says Friday. But one thing for certain, two things for sure. You know he was prepared. Amen. That he had studied that material, and he did the very best he could. And that's all God is asking. That's all God is asking. If we want to be great, we got to give God a great effort and let God bless my effort. Yes. Amen. Bless my effort. Amen. Let me close with, I talk about Dorcas all the time. It needs to be read. In Acts 9:36, it says, now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Now watch what the word of God says about this woman. Because one, you know, put yourself in this place. What would God say about you? Now here's what God said about Dorcas, but what would God say about you and your work? He said, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds. Now, watch this now. Which she did. See, some of us full of good works and full of alms deeds, but we don't do nothing. Then that's the kind of person, well, he got so much potential. Potential without action is nothing. Amen. All right. I just screamed and hollered. God is good. God is grace. Let us thank him for our food. See, we use that at the dinner table, but God is good.
Amen.
God is great.
Amen.
Let us thank him for our food, because the word of God said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth.
Amen.
God has fed us.
Amen.
He's fed us. He's fed me. He's fed us today, because when we read Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 14, it ought to mean something to us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us. Father, thank you for the word of God.